Hello and welcome to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not so old. I'm Richard Davis, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour. Coming up in that time, we'll be hearing about National Disabled Access Day, and what our local bus company is doing to support it. Then we'll be finding out about the important part that pets can play in the family, and hearing about a local helpline for unpaid carers. And Chris English will be joining me to review the latest show that he's been to see at the Theatre Royal. As usual, we'll be giving out various email addresses, website addresses and telephone numbers during the course of the programme, so you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. So let's start by finding out about National Disabled Access Day. I was on a bus recently and I saw a poster advertising the day, which is on March the 16th. I must admit I didn't know there was such a day. So in an attempt to find out more, I contacted the Brighton and Hove Bus and Coach Company, and they agreed to send a representative along to the studio to tell me more about it. Well, that representative is with me in the studio, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Victoria Garcia, and I'm the Accessibility and Communities Manager for Brighton Hove Bus and Coach Company.
And I gather there's an interesting story about how you came to take up that job.
I worked in the customer service department at Brighton Hove Buses, and about 4 years ago, Managing Director Martin Harris had an inspiring idea that basically he would like to have a role that looked at ways that we could help all of our customers. We had increased feedback from some of our customers with sight impairments and hearing impairments that felt that maybe we could be doing more, which they were very correct about. And so Martin Harris asked if I'd be interested in taking forward the role and concentrating on accessibility. And at that time, we were looking at it as ways of helping our disabled customers. But we very, very quickly realised that actually everything that improved the travelling experience for disabled customers actually improved the travelling experience for all of our customers. And in fact, accessibility affects 100% of our customer base, because at some point somebody's going to have an accessibility requirement, whether that's a disability or whether that's a lady becoming pregnant or somebody having a pushchair with young children, a walker, carrying shopping on the bus. If you've got 4 or 5 bags of shopping, where do you put that shopping? If the bus pulls away, where do you hold on to? If you've got a sprain, a broken leg, all of these things, at some point somebody will have an accessibility requirement. So hence my role was born, and now I solely work on finding ways and solutions to make the travelling experience better for everybody.
It sounds like quite a big job.
It is. And in fact, it's at the moment, it's me, myself and I. It's a very rewarding job. But as you rightly say, it's grown. It's at the beginning had no idea that there was so much involved. But we've come a long way in 4 years. I'm not saying we're quite there. We've still got a way to go. But I'm very, very pleased and very proud to say that we have come quite a way. And that's thanks to the work with local charities and organisations and our customers. Our customers have been amazing with the feedback that they've given us, and so that we can enable the travelling experience to be more improved.
That's great. What I actually wanted to talk to you about today is the forthcoming Disabled Access Day. Can you tell me a bit about the day?
Oh, yes, certainly. It was actually founded by a gentleman called Paul Ralph. It was founded back in 2015 in Scotland. He's a wheelchair user. And in fact, it came about because he didn't feel he had the confidence to travel on the bus with his wheelchair. And he contacted his local bus company and he said, I would like to travel on the bus, but I'm not sure whether or not I'm able to in my wheelchair. And his local bus company said, oh, come out and try out the bus, come out and try out the day. Hence, Disabled Access Day was born. And it's gone from there, and it's grown across the whole UK. And it's all about trying new experiences and showing areas that are accessible and people learning about how they can access these areas.
And what are Brighton and Hove Buses doing for the day?
We've been involved with Disabled Access Day from its founding, and there wasn't one last year. There was a two-year gap up until this day, but we've done the same thing on every Disabled Access Day. We're allowing all disabled concessionary card holders to choose somebody that they'd like to travel with on the bus for the day. And that's not just going to other Disabled Access Day events, that's anywhere, because somebody may want to go shopping into town or travel off to Royal Tunbridge Wells for a day visit. So throughout the whole of the day, we're giving free, unlimited travel to somebody that they'd like to choose to travel with them for the day, to, so that it's not just the person themselves trying out the bus, but they're bringing somebody along with them to try out the bus too.
There's already a scheme whereby that people can bring their carers with them and the carer can travel free. So how does this differ?
So that's entirely correct. That scheme is through the concessionary card scheme, which is operated by the local councils. So some local councils, not all, have what's called a plus carer aspect to their card that they're allowed to bring somebody along to travel with them free. Not all councils do that, but some do. And in fact, within Brighton and Hove, we actually give all carers with the carers card scheme discount to travel on our buses. But this Disabled Access Day will allow an extra person to travel. So if somebody has the plus C on their disabled concessionary card, they'll be able to bring an extra person, so they'll be able to take two people with them on the bus. If they don't have a plus C, because not everybody does, then they'll be able to travel somebody with them on the day. So it gives that plus one to everybody, rather than just the few cards that have the plus C already on their card.
And that extra person doesn't have to be a carer, it can be
anybody.
Any of their friends or relatives.
It can be anybody. It could be anybody of their choice. It can be a partner, a relative, as you say. It could be a carer, but it's anybody that they wish to travel with for the day.
So this is only happening on one day?
The 16th of March. And in fact, we will be doing it again. We'll be doing it again on Disability Pride, which is July the 14th. And we did it with Disability Pride last year, and it was very successful on Disabled Access Day and Disability Pride previously.
Is there any chance it might be extended beyond just those 2 days?
No, there are no plans at the moment, because, as you rightly pointed out previously, there is already a scheme in place where the council decide whom they would add the plus carer to the card. This scheme is about, for these 2 days, with Disabled Access Day and Disabled Pride, giving something back to the community.
Do people have to book in advance to bring their extra friend with them, or can they just turn up?
It's with the disabled concessionary card. So get on the bus, scan their disabled concessionary card as normal, and then they'll just advise the driver that this is the person travelling with me today.
Very simple. The company's already doing quite a lot for disabled travellers, isn't it?
We're getting better. We're not there. We're not the experts. The experts are our customers, the disability organisations, the charities. So this is where my role really came about when it started 4 years ago, that it means that we've got somebody engaging with all the groups and the customers. And so with the feedback that's been shared with us, we've been able to implement several schemes. And this has included the carers card discount scheme, the helping hand assistance card scheme. We've added loops to all of our new buses, the white destination screens that are easier to read. We've worked in partnership with the council to extend the schemes on the talking bus stops. All of our buses are talking buses. It doesn't just help people with hearing impairments and sight impairments. It helps everybody, tourists to the city, somebody travelling to a different area in the city. There are so many schemes. Dementia-friendly floors. All of our new buses have dementia-friendly floors, make it easier for people living with dementia to travel.
What's a dementia-friendly floor?
A dementia-friendly floor is ensuring that the colours of that floor are compatible for somebody living with dementia. A very dark floor can be like a black hole for somebody living with dementia. So if that person goes to cross over into a shop or onto one of our buses and there's a very, very dark floor, they feel that maybe there's a black hole there they're going to fall down into, and that can be very, very scary. So by ensuring that all of our new buses have got lighter floors and dementia-friendly floors, it enables the travelling experience to be a much better one. We all know that the population is ageing. We all know that dementia is becoming more prevalent. So it's essential that we ensure our buses are more accessible. And within that, we're actually, with the Alzheimer's Society, that we ensure that all of our staff have become dementia friends as well. And it's something that we've worked very, very closely with the Alzheimer's Society. And it's something we're continuing to expand, and we'll ensure all of our buses that we buy will continue to have dementia-friendly flooring. There are numerous initiatives which have all come about thanks to our customers and all the organisations that we're working with. But we've still got a long way to go. I'm not saying we're there. It's a work in progress.
I was going to ask about whether the drivers have had special training for dealing with disabled people and people with dementia, of course.
Well, yes. So, as I've just said, so we ensure that our drivers have become dementia friends. We have what's called CPC training, that all drivers have to take a certain amount of extra training. And we ensure that training is around disability awareness. And so we do My Guiding, which is in partnership with the Guide Dogs. We do work with Alzheimer's Society for Dementia Friends. And then, of course, we have our across-the-board training about ensuring that our buses are more accessible for everybody, and that includes for disability awareness as well and diversity as well.
Going back to the Helping Hands cards, I know we talked about these a few years back when you first introduced them, but perhaps you could just remind us what they're all about.
The Helping Hand Assistance Card is a very, very simple scheme. It's a credit card size card that empowers the holder to discreetly and directly advise of any assistance they may require. We worked in partnership with several organisations, to name a few, Guide Dogs, Action on Hearing Loss, Possibility People, to actually design and ensure that the card was usable. Because, of course, as I said previously, we're not the experts. So we brought the experts in to actually work with us to design the card. And on the card, we have several messages that are already pre-printed cards that will say wording like, please wait until seated. So somebody, it's particularly helpful for people with hidden disabilities, as an example. And so somebody can show the driver, and the driver knows to wait until seated before pulling away. Of course, if somebody gets on the bus and they've got a walker, or they're with a guide dog, the driver can immediately recognise that. But with a lot of disabilities, it's very, very difficult. So it empowers the holder to be able to share this with the driver. It's black and yellow for visual reasons, and on the back it allows the person, if they wish to add their name and also an emergency telephone contact number. So as an example, whilst it's in the person's wallet or purse on their person, if an emergency did happen, then of course anybody coming along to assist them knows somebody to get in contact with. We're actually developing it further. We're still going to have the cards in place, but we're also looking to develop it with feedback from our customers. We're looking to develop it into an app, and that app will be able to be translatable into different languages, so when somebody's going on holiday or if English isn't somebody's first language, it helps within that. But it's been very, very successful, and it started off in Brighton and Hove, but now it's gone across the whole of England, across all the Go Ahead bus companies, which we're a part of, the Go Ahead group. And people are using it off the bus. People are using cards, for example, please face me, I lip read, or please assist if required. People are using them in the cinema, they're using them in the cricket ground whilst they're out shopping. So yes, it's growing, and again, we're very, very grateful for all the feedback from our customers and the organisations that have helped us develop this.
And it has the advantage that, two advantages really. Firstly, that the driver can see instantly what the person's requirements are without them having to try and explain it. And also they don't need to say it out loud, so the other passengers don't get to hear about it.
Exactly. And it's actually worked very well. There's some customers that I've worked with. There's one young lady that she has a hidden disability. She needs to sit in the priority seating area, but she's young. Because she's got a hidden disability, the other customers don't recognise that she requires this priority seat. She actually has a card that says priority seating required, and she started now showing this to other customers. And customers, oh, okay, that, and it's made her feel a lot more confident about travelling by bus. It's let people know around her that she does need this help. So it's really improving things for people, which has been wonderful. It doesn't work for everybody. It's like any initiative that we have in place. There's no set initiative for one person. It's actually about putting all of our initiatives together to try and improve things for everybody, because there's going to be something that will make things better across the board.
As you say, Victoria, there are some people who have hidden disabilities. They look perfectly normal, but they're disabled in some way that doesn't render them physically disabled. And I gather you're actually one of them.
I am, and in fact, one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about my role, I have hidden disabilities. I have conditions called lupus and Sjogren's, but I also have a heart machine defibrillator ICD implanted. And 15 years ago, whilst climbing some stairs, my defibrillator defibrillated and I fell down backwards and I had a traumatic head injury, which resulted in 5 years not being able to work. I had several seizures a day for 5 years, several blackouts a day. And in fact, I had to do everything again. After 5 years, my seizures slowed down. I still get seizures, but I'm able, thankfully, to be able to get out and about and work now. I had to do everything again, travelling on the bus for the first time on my own, travelling on a train for the first time on my own, going across the road to buy a pint of milk, being very fearful and lack of confidence in these things. And suddenly finding during those 5 years of having to be reliant on everyone around me. So yes, people look at me and I'm a walking example of a hidden disability. And I'm very, very pleased that I'm able to be here today talking about it. And it's so important that so many other people talk about it as well, and we recognise it more, because at some point through everyone's lifetime, somebody's going to have an accessibility requirement.
How can people get more information, not only about the Disabled Access Day, but about all the other things that Brighton and Hove buses are doing to help the disabled?
Presently, for Disabled Access Day, we do have posters across our whole network, across all of our buses. But of course, we found that sometimes the best way for people to hear about things is through the groups and organisations and the stakeholders that we work with, because of course they're best placed to be able to share that with their service users. So that works particularly well. We also of course have information on our website, and if anybody does want to hear more and speak with the person directly, they can call our customer services on 01273 886 200. But of course we recognise that not everybody can call up and ring up, so you can email as well by emailing info@buses.co.uk. Or we do also have, for customers with hearing impairments, we have a texting service. And the number for that texting service is 07583 051 915. I'll just repeat that if that's okay. It's 07583 051 915. So there's different ways that people can communicate with ourselves, and we can communicate with our customers and service users as well. And we also go out and about. We have certain days at Churchill Square, for an example, and we'll park a bus there and we have an open day. We go to lots of different events in the city, and lots of different open days. But we're always looking for ways that we can share the information more. So if any of your listeners have any ways that they think that we can get that message out more, like today, sharing it on the radio, what a great way for us to share the information. So we're very, very keen to hear.
Victoria, thanks very much.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for your hospitality today and for listening.
I was talking to Victoria Garcia of the Brighton and Hove Bus Company about the annual Disabled Access Day, which is on March the 16th, and what the company is doing in celebration of it. If you'd like to find out more information, you can go to their website, which is www.buses.co.uk/access-day. That's www.buses.co.uk/access-day. Or you can phone them on Brighton 886 200. That's 01273 886 200. 886 200. 00. You can also email them, and the email address is info@buses.co.uk. That's info@buses.co.uk. And you can also text them on 07583 051 915. That's 07583 051 915. Now, it's often said that we Brits are a nation of animal lovers, and certainly very many people keep pets, cats and dogs, of course, being the most common ones. New research by the animal charity Blue Cross has revealed that pets can play a significant part in the forging of happy relationships between couples, and they can even help to smooth things over in a relationship that's gone sour. To find out more, Chris English spoke on the phone to Diane James, the Pet Bereavement Support Service Manager for Blue Cross, the charity that commissioned the survey. And he began by asking her how significant pets are in making a home.
Gosh, do you know, pets are really important to homes, families and relationships, because they bring you so much unconditional love, they can reduce your stress, and they can just play a great part in your family. So obviously they are really, really important at Blue Cross to us.
We see lots of stories and pictures on social media and elsewhere about pets being dressed, because often people use pet as a substitute for a child or a lost partner, perhaps.
We do sadly see lots of pets sort of dressed up to humanise them, but the most important thing to remember is that for some people it is their only partner, their only connection to the outside world, and it is really, really important to them because it's the only person they've got that is there to share their life with them. So, you know, I can understand how when people are lonely that they put everything into their pet, but not, you know, we don't condone dressing up in any way.
So that's something that you frown upon?
It's not so much we frown upon it. It's obviously down to the individual pet owner. But, you know, as a Blue Cross is a charity, it's the pet's there to be loved and cherished in other ways.
How important is a pet to a relationship?
We recently carried out a survey of over 1,300 people and asked them questions about their pet relationship, and it covered a wide spectrum of animals, not only cats and dogs, but small animals like guinea pig, horses, etc., and looked at. And these animals play a great part in people's lives, as to, for example, making their relationship more stable, to making them feel safer when they're on their own, to, as I said, reducing stress levels. And they really are important to the family and to the individual.
Can a pet make a difference for a rocky relationship?
Well, we also found out that people spend more time together when they have a pet, so, and they argue less. So I would say that if people do have a rocky relationship, that pets can play a great part in that. But then it's important to remember, if that relationship sadly doesn't survive, that the welfare of the pet should also be taken into consideration.
Christmas has just come and gone, and unfortunately pets are still sometimes given as presents at Christmas. Is that something that you frown upon?
Well, you know, the most important thing is that no matter what the time of year, that the person it's going to is a good home, that they've looked into it correctly, it's a stable environment, that they'll have lots of love, that the person's able to give them the time and the nurture that they deserve. So any time of the year, it's important that it's the best interests of the pet that are taken into consideration. And if people look at our website, bluecross.org.uk, they'll find lots of things there that will help them if they're looking to rehome a pet.
Why do you think it is that we have this almost insane passion for animals in our home?
I would say as a nation, the British are renowned for their love of animals. And I think that, you know, just thankfully we treat them well, we look after them. And it's a case of you reap what you sow. If you put lots of love and care into your attention and looking after your pet, it comes back in oodles and bounds, leaps and bounds.
You're the Pet Bereavement Support Service Manager for Blue Cross. So how devastating can it be when people lose a pet?
Gosh, you know, we have over 8,000 calls a year and 5,000 emails now, because the loss, not only through death, but it can be enforced separation, it's been stolen, and it's absolutely traumatic for that person that the animal they've lost, they're grieving for it. So no matter what the loss circumstances, it's really important that services like ours exist, and we offer a free support to these people.
If I have lost a pet, what do your bereavement services cover?
the most important thing is if you've suffered a loss, is to talk. And that's what we're there for. We're there to support people, because often they've got no one to talk to, or they feel that there isn't anyone they can talk to. So we're there to support, listen to them. We signpost if they need any other relevant agencies. And we're there just to really be there for them at their hour of need.
Quite a lot of the people listening to this programme can be classed as elderly or even old. So why should they think about a pet for now?
Gosh, do you know, the most important thing is companionship, because any person of any age, and some people sometimes think, oh gosh, the pet might, I might, you know, I'd be outlived by the pet. Do not worry about that. We have lots of older pets that need rehoming. And we also have something in Blue Cross that we call Pets Into Care, so that sadly, if a person does demise before their pet, we will take that pet back into care.
Now, sometimes we see pictures in the press of celebrities with very small dogs, almost as a fashion accessory. Is that, again, something that you condone, or is it something to be regretted?
The only thing I'd say on that is the most important thing, again, is that the pet itself has a good life. It's bought or it's rescued for the right reasons. And do you know something? Everybody loves their pet in their own way. So sometimes, you know, people did used to think of it as a fashion accessory. I think now, thankfully, that people realise that these are living creatures and they do deserve a good life, and that you know, places like Blue Cross are there to help.
And is there really a difference between a cat person and a dog person?
Do you know something? I would say anybody who loves a pet is a fantastic person. They love equally a cat or a dog. And some people will say dog owners are better, some cat. I just say any person who has an animal is a great person and they deserve the love they get from that pet.
Diane, thank you very much for joining us. And that website again?
It's bluecross.org.uk. And for the bereavement service, it's a free phone number, 0800 096 6606.
And just repeat those for us.
It's bluecross.org.uk. And for free phone for the bereavement service is 0800 096
Chris English was speaking to Diane James, the Pet Bereavement Support Service Manager for Blue Cross. Well, our next item was first broadcast in June of last year. At that time, advertisements had appeared on buses and other places advertising a new service known as the Carers Hub, which was designed to provide support to unpaid carers working in Brighton and Hove. When I made some inquiries, I found out that it was run by a much older organisation called the Carers Centre. So I invited Chris Lau from the Carers Centre to come into the studio and tell me all about it. And I put it to him that although the Carers Hub was a new service, the Carers Centre had been running for some time.
Yes, this year, 2018, is our 30th birthday. We started in March 1988.
Right.
So it's a 30-year birthday this year, so, yeah.
And what function does the Carers Centre perform?
The Carers Centre provides emotional support, information advice, advocacy work, events and activities for unpaid carers. So basically, people just need some help or some guidance or some kind of advice, then we can provide those kind of things.
That's very useful. I should imagine there are quite a lot of unpaid carers in the Brighton and Hove area.
Yeah, it's just under 28,000 in the last census,
gosh,
2011. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a lot. And then also, as you know, because carers terminology, a lot of people think it's kind of care workers in a care home and all the things like that. So I think that's the reason why we always say care center and do you look after someone?
Mm.
So that's the catchphrase that we use to kind of capture those people that don't see themselves as a carer. Because a lot of people, they just say, I'm a husband, I'm the wife, I'm a child, I'm a daughter for my relatives, and I just look after them. That's my duty.
Yes.
So they didn't know that that there are some help out there, and a lot of people are kind of caring for maybe 2 or 3 years until they realize that they are doing some kind of really amazing job and without any help.
How do people normally get in touch with you?
Basically, we're by mouth and by phone call, by email, and some people come across basically just through their friends and relatives, and they say, oh yeah, you want some help, maybe there's a care centre there for you. And we got quite a lot of referral from the local authorities as well, because hospitals and social workers, so on and so forth, yes.
Now, you've recently set up a helpline, haven't you?
That's right. Yeah, we started in October last year because we got the funding from the local authorities to set up a helpline called Carers Hub, and it's 01273-977-000, that's a number. It's a Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
And is there an answering machine when there's nobody there?
Absolutely, yes.
So people don't just get the phone ringing and
no. We have a voicemail for people to leave a message. Yeah, so we will back to them.
So this is an improvement on people just phoning you because they've been referred to you. That's,
yes.
It's the sort of thing that if somebody's feeling desperate and they can't cope, they can just get on the line to you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think sometimes people just want to get a piece of information. And then they'd been kind of going around and then been kicked around like a football. And they say, oh, no, not me. And then you try this one. Oh, try that one. But this one is a one entry point for carers. So no matter what role you're doing in caring, you just phone us. And if we can't help you, we will be able to signpost you or refer you to a right agent. So that's an improvement. That's an improvement for everyone, yes.
And has it been going well since it started?
Yeah, it's a very, very short time. We've only been for 6 months. But yeah, we're doing extremely well. And we got a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and a lot of referrals from agencies. But we've been kind of doing this kind of publicity a lot, and we leave flyers and leaflets and doing exhibition and display and all the things just to promote it. Because as you know, nowadays a lot of people using social media. So we put on Facebook, we put on Twitter, on our website, and try to promote it as much as we can.
Yes, and I saw your advertisement on a bus the other day.
Yeah, Brighton Hove Bus Company, they are amazing. They are so supportive. This is the second time they put our flyer on the bus. Yeah, really helpful.
Now, what services does the Carers Centre provide?
The Carers Centre basically providing information, advice and support, but we also do peer support groups for carers. So we have 5 areas in the city, and then we do like a coffee morning type peer support group. And we also do armed forces, communities that are unpaid carers in the armed forces community. And it's funded by the Royal British Legion. And we're also doing something with carers in terms of engagement. So we engage with carers to get feedback, consult them with specific topics to see what do they feel about it, what do they think about the services and all the things. And also we have a young carers project within the Carers Centre. And it's supporting young carers 6 years old up to 17 years old. So providing all the activities and everything. But young carers are different because we're mainly using events and activities to engage them because they're young. So it won't be a coffee morning type.
More like a disco, wasn't it?
Yeah, more or less like playing sports, activities, kicking football and doing music, doing face painting and drama and all those kind of things. That's a kid will do, yeah.
Yes, people tend to forget that there are young carers around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's quite a lot of young carers around and they do need help in schools and we do have a school project that we go to schools and work with school teachers and staff and try to help them to identify young carers in schools. Yeah, I was a young carer myself when I was 11 years old, and at that time I didn't know that I was a young carer because I thought I was just looking after my grandmom. But I have a very, very good bond with my grandmom because I felt kind of a duty bound that I need to look after her. And then she was old and I need to do all the kind of cooking, shopping and taking her to hospital and appointments and all stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a kind of a part of my commitment to the Carers Centre because I've been working there for 10 years now. So it's kind of, because you just didn't know. You just didn't know until later on. And then when you look back and you say, oh, well, basically I was, yes.
That was one of the things that made you want to actually go and work for the Carers Centre, presumably.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And also, I always work in the charity sector as well. So, because I think sometimes it's about giving back to the community. It's not just a job.
Are you able to arrange for carers to have time off
Respite.
Yes.
Yeah. Crossroad Care, do you do home-based respite? And also depends on their needs assessment, and some of them have the direct budget to pay for respite as well. So, yes, that's possible. And because carers usually just looking after their care for, and then they don't look after themselves. So if they have a health appointment with the dentist or a GP appointment, they just skip it. And then they just say, oh, well, I don't have time or something. But because Crossroad Care, they do provide this kind of a home-based respite, and then they don't need to pay for it. And then they can go for the appointments, they can go for the counselling or any health-related appointments.
Are there organisations similar to yours in other towns in Britain?
Yes. In East Sussex, they have the Care for the Carers. And it's another carer centre, but they call themselves Care for the Carers. And then in West Sussex, they have a West Sussex Carer Support Project. So, yeah, we do have a lot of different carer centres in the UK. Yeah, we are part of the Carer Trust membership. So we are affiliated as a member with the Carer Trust. And then they got well over nearly 200 members. Yeah. So across the whole country have care centres around.
So the country's well served.
Yes. Yes. I think every big city do have a care centre or crossroads, and then to support unpaid carers.
But I take it from your tone of voice, it could be better.
Yeah, it could be better, because at this moment, as you know, about the adult social care, the budget reduction and all the stuff like that. So it's quite difficult. For example, you hear the news about the Brighton Hove City Council talk about budget deficit, and
yes,
they need to reduce and all things. So everybody basically are quite tight in their pocket. So we need to kind of be a bit more innovative and be positive about it, and then to kind of get on with it and try to support as much as you can.
Yes, how is the carer centre supported?
We basically really are well supported by the local authorities. So we got this big contract called Carers Hub. We won it last year in October. So it's a big chunk of funding support to show that their commitment to supporting unpaid carers. So we are grateful about it. And the rest mainly is from independent trusts and foundations.
And do you get individuals giving you money?
Yes, some. Yeah, some are very, very generous, and then they sell a direct debit or a standing order, and then give us £10 a month or something. Very, very generous people. And occasionally we will get donations from people that want to give us something. So, yeah.
If somebody listening to this is a carer and they want help, how do they get in touch with you?
Call us on 977-000. It's a local number, 01273. Or just email us info@carershub.co.uk.
And Carers Hub is written all as one word?
Yeah, all in one word, yeah. Carershub.co.uk. Yes. But just phone us is the best option. 977-000 is the best option for you.
And as you were saying earlier, if there's nobody there, there will be an answering machine.
Yes, exactly. Just leave a message and then we will get back to you. If it's Friday, then we'll get back to you on Monday, but usually we get back to you on the same day. But the line open between Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I was talking to Chris Lau of the Brighton & Hove Carers Centre about their helpline known as the Carers Hub. You can contact the Carers Hub by telephone on Brighton 977-000. That's 01273-977-000. And the line is manned Monday to Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Outside that time, there is a voicemail service, or, to use old terminology, an answering machine, on which you can leave a message, and they'll call you back later. You can also contact them by email, and the email address is info@carershub.co.uk. That's info, spelled I-N-F-O, at carershub, typed all as one word, .co.uk. And there's a website where you can find out more, which is www.carershub.co.uk. That's www.carershub.co.uk. By the way, during the course of that interview, Chris Lau also mentioned another organisation which is able to provide respite care. In other words, to take over the caring responsibilities for a short while to allow a regular carer to get some time off. The organisation is called Crossroads Care Brighton, and you can contact them by phone on Brighton 234 021. That's 01273 234 021. They also have a website, which is www.esbhcrossroads.org.uk. That's www.esbhcrossroads, typed all as one word, .org.uk. Well now, Chris English has been to the theatre again, and he's here to review a show that he recently saw at the Theatre Royal. Over to you, Chris.
Thanks, Richard. And in the last edition of At Home This Morning, we heard from Rebecca Lowens, who's playing Molly in the new tour of the musical Ghost. And indeed, we aired a version of probably what is the best known song from the show, Unchained Melody, in that particular programme. Now, of course, Unchained Melody wasn't written for Ghost. It was originally performed by the Righteous Brothers back in the far distant past. But Ghost itself, the musical, started life as the 1990 film that starred Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze and tells the heartbreaking story of young lovers Molly and Sam, who are in the process of setting up home in New York until, that is, Sam is murdered in a back alley. And while you might think this is a strange subject for a musical, in fact, the show works very well and moves from laugh-out-loud comedy to total despair, smoothly and seamlessly, thanks to a first-class book and lyrics from Bruce Joel Rubin and music and lyrics from Dave Stewart and Glenn Ballard. I'm obviously not alone in my love of musical theatre, as there was a packed house at the Theatre Royal last week. And what a great show it is, with a hugely talented cast and, quite unusually these days, a full live band. And as we heard in the last programme from Rebecca, who incidentally is truly excellent and has a voice to die for, Ghost is far from a candy floss musical, the likes of Mamma Mia, etc. And with Neil Sheehy as her partner Sam, and the wonderful Jackie Dubois reprising the role of comedic medium Oda May, who was played in the film, incidentally, by Whoopi Goldberg, plus a very hard-working supporting cast. This is truly a show that brings West End quality to Brighton and Hove. With an impressive set, but one that doesn't dominate the stage, but cleverly changes from Molly and Sam's Manhattan apartment to some street or a subway even, seamlessly, and thanks to some very clever lighting and sound effects, which we heard at the start of Act Two and made everybody jump. As you might expect from a musical, the vocal abilities of a cast can make or break a show. And here, as I've said already, there's absolutely no doubt of that, with both Rebecca and Niall hitting every note and exhibiting just the right touch of pathos as Molly and Sam. Plus, of course, the wonderful Jackie Dubois turning our tears to laughter. While I would like to mention everyone, space doesn't allow, so I'll just name Sergio Pasquale, and apologies if that's not the correct pronunciation, who as Carl is the initially unsuspected villain of the piece, who gets his comeuppance in the end. Although by the time you hear this review, the touring production of Ghost will have moved on from the Theatre Royal. The tour continues until the spring. But even after that, you should keep track of both Rebecca and Neil, who are surely destined for a future musical stardom, both in the West End of London and perhaps even on Broadway. Over to you, Richard.
Thanks, Chris. Chris English has been reviewing the recent production of Ghost at the Theatre Royal. The show's moved on from the Theatre Royal now, but I'm sure if you go online and do a search for Ghost, you'll be able to find out where it is now. And that brings us to the end of our programme for this time. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time. Well, it now only remains for me, Richard Davis, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme for Radio Reverb, to thank everyone who's taken part in the programme. Once again, to thank you for listening. And until we meet again, to wish you all the very best. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning has been a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb. Don't forget that you can listen again to recent editions of At Home This Morning at any time by just visiting our website at www.greymattersproductions.org.uk.